Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
I pray that the reality of that will be made known to you this morning. Because sometimes you may not believe that you are a king or a queen, royalty unto God. You don't believe it necessarily. In your situations, you might say, hey, it doesn't make sense. But this morning, I want you to know who you are in Christ and what you need to do, what we need to do. Psalm 63, verse 11. This is why I say, are you a king this morning? It says, but the king shall rejoice or be glad in God, in Elohim. The word God here is Elohim. It means, or it's a plural singular, and the recognition of Jehovah, God, as being one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit being one in who they are, in their purposes. They're in unity, and this Elohim, God, is the one that we rejoice in, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone who swears by him shall glory. I was in court yesterday. I'm going to be in court on Monday, not for myself, but to be there for somebody else. And one of the things is that there's a swearing. Do you swear to tell the whole truth? Nothing but the truth. There is a making an oath of being, of the reality, the truth of who God is. Everyone who swears by him makes a vow, makes an oath, declares that God is your truth, your reality, shall glory, shall boast, shall rejoice. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. In Jesus' name, I'll tell you right now, so often we as believers, as kings and priests unto God, have things that come out of our mouth. We often get upset about other people speaking lies. Sometimes it's a lie that is, well, I would say it's intentional, very intentional. And some of the things that we speak intentionally about who God is or the reality of God in our life is a total lie. It's a lie. And as a result, we are overwhelmed by the different things that are happening in our lives. We're overwhelmed by all these different things because of what is coming out of our mouth regarding of who we believe that God is or isn't. And even we believe it to be a reality. God, you can't see me out of this situation. You can't get me out of this situation. And so we start to rely on other things that is not by him, that is by something or someone else, and we grab a hold of these things that will not see you through. They're lies. The mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. As we declare, we swear, we make an oath, a vow, we declare by him and begin to glory in him. Let my mouth be stopped if I start to proclaim things that are not by him and not in him and that don't glorify him. And in the process, there is no boasting. I can't boast in the Lord. Let those things be shut down. You may say, Pastor, whoa, hey, Don't get so upset. You know what? I get upset. Why? Because the one that brings the lie is the liar and the father of lies. And so many believers are listening to the father of lies in their life. And I'm upset with the enemy, and I'm upset that people so quickly grab a hold of these things. You might say, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. You don't know the situation that I'm in. This Psalm 63, let this be an encouragement to you this morning. Let it be an encouragement to you this morning. Hallelujah. This morning, I'll tell you right now, the enemy is going to attempt to distract you because he doesn't want you to hear this. This morning, I want you to remain, if you have possibly to stay in and not be distracted or move or leave the sanctuary. You stay in the sanctuary. All right? You need to hear this. You need to hear this. All right. Let's go. Let's go to the beginning. I want to go through this. And just recognizing the time. Oh God, you are my God. You are Elohim, the existing one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You are my God. And I like the word God there is Elohim first. The second one, you are my God, is El, is Jehovah, the one true God full of strength and power. Interesting. I know in the English here, we see God, and we see God twice here in the first line. And I want you to know this morning, tomorrow, this morning is more of a teaching. So when you're being taught, you need to listen. So grab a hold as we are taught the word of the Lord by the Spirit of God. O God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Elohim, plural, singular, Elohim. You are my God, El. You are my God, El, or Jehovah, the one true God. Together, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. What's the first thing that is on your mind when you wake up in the morning? First thing is probably, it's like, oh my goodness, the alarm just went off. I wish I could sleep a little bit longer. Is that what, it's like, oh man, didn't it get enough sleep? First thing, what is the first thing that happens in your day? What is the first thing that happens in your day? Oftentimes we sleep as long as we can. We get up, I know, because I, for a long time, that was my thing. You sleep as long as you can. You get up and you get moving. You know, take the shower, brush your teeth, get your hair set, get all dressed and whatever to move into the day. And we skip over even a thought of God. Oftentimes, I know. Especially on our days off. We say, oh, I got all these different things that I can do today. I'm going to do them now. I would pray that this thing, every early will I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. Now, you might say, where was David at as he's writing this psalm? This psalm is about a particular thing. Where was David at? Well, just for those of you that maybe don't have background, I want to give a little bit of background. You know, David, the young shepherd boy, teenager, that went and killed Goliath? That's the David I'm talking about. He lived around 1,000 B.C., 1,000 years before Christ came, so about 3,000 years ago. And as a result of him taking down Goliath, one stone Hey, I come. I don't come with my strength. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, of all the hosts of heaven. I come in his name against you. And I come against the obstacles. I come against the mountains that were shutting down, one mountain shutting down an entire nation, hundreds of thousands of men across a valley set for battle. And every day, for I think 40 days, does this man come and say, come on, I challenge any one of you. Give me your champion, and we'll fight. If I lose, all the Philistines are yours. We will be your servants. If you lose, you'll be our servants. And there is fear in the face of the obstacle, in the face of the mountain, in the face of that which would challenge our faith and our God. I'll tell you, there are so many things that challenge our faith in God Almighty. And who is God to you? And so this same young man, oh, as he overcame Goliath, the next 7 years would be in the palace of King Saul for 7 years. And it got to a point where as they sang songs of David, King Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And there's jealousy that began to well up in King Saul, to the point where he tried. He threw his javelin at David as David was trying to quell, as the spirit of the Lord had left King Saul. And another spirit, an evil spirit, would come upon King Saul. And to soothe, David would play and sing to soothe the spirit of Saul. Just like we have a spirit that can be agitated. And there was a singing, but there was a point where Saul, as he attempted to kill David, that David left. And for the next 8 years, we think just a short period of time, for 8 years, 4 of those years in the wilderness, running as Saul tried to find him, to take him out. We're not just talking a few days or an hour or two. Sometimes we go through stuff. We're talking for years. And it didn't end there. But even as he would go to the Philistines and feign madness and whatever, he was given a town, a fortress town, Ziklag. At that point, there were somewhere around 400 to 600 men. For the next 4 years, he was there, still could not come into the presence or be in Israel. If he was caught, he would have been killed. 8 years until King Saul died. Twice David had a chance, once in a cave. He cut off the robe, a piece of the robe of Saul, as he went into the cave to relieve himself. So he was going in. And there was 400 men in that cave in the darkness, didn't even know that they were there, and probably threw off his coat or his garb, his garment. And David, close in the darkness, cuts off a piece of a hem of his garment. Could have killed him. Because the king was there. Kill him. He says, I'm not going to touch the anointed of God. King Saul was anointed. I'm not going to touch the anointed of God. Twice. Second time he was able, there were 3,000 men, and he went into the camp. And he was standing. There was, I don't know what was happening. He figured, hey, what are they going to do? 3,000. Nobody was even on watch. They were sleeping. And he stood over King Saul. And David had a chance to kill him with his own spear, with King Saul's spear. Again, he says, I'm not going to touch the anointed of God. And he took the king's spear, and that morning he shouts, saying, hey, Saul, you're chasing me like a flea? I'm just a flea compared to you. You don't need to chase me. This was the place that David was in. Some of you say, Pastor, I don't think any one of us is in a position where you have an entire army chasing after you. It'd be like the Canadian forces, the police force, the whatever, trying to find you. You're a criminal. None of us are in that place. This was the place that David was in, and this is the psalm that he writes. One of them. Who is God to you? You know what? I find when we're in the worst of times, I find that our mind, often, at least that's happening to me, when I'm in the worst of times, I'm going through hard times, man, I come to the Lord then. First thing I wake, it's waking up, it's like this thing is on my mind, what I'm going through, and the next thing I know, I'm going to the Lord. Or are you going to something else? Who are you going to? What are you going to? When you're in the worst position. He says, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. When all hell is breaking loose, when you're in the worst of times, in the worst of positions, in the worst conditions, in the worst circumstances, it impacts your soul, your emotions, your feelings. Your mind is consumed with what is in front of you. And here, I want, as we go through this chapter, that you will make this a reality to you. Go to the Lord. Early in the morning, go to the Lord. Let your soul begin to thirst for God. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Literally. For him, it was a literal thing. There's no water. And it wasn't just water for himself. It was like, hey, I gotta get water for 400 men. Discontents, those that were being chased as well. Is there going to be enough water for all of us? My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. There's already a longing, Lord. Man, I want you. I want you. I need you. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Listen, he couldn't go to the sanctuary. He was longing to be in the sanctuary. Do you long to be in the house of the Lord? On a Sunday morning, it's like, man, I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to see your power. I want to see your glory. This is the presence of God. The Shekinah glory, the Spirit of God moving powerfully. Lord, I long for that. You know what? We can come in to the house of the Lord, and we can have people, one person in the presence of God, and the other person in the presence of the mountain and the obstacle and the condition they're in, and they're focused on the mountain in front of them, the giant that is facing them. That's what they're focused in on. And one is able to come into the presence of God, and one is just caught up with all of the things of life, the circumstances of life. But David is here saying, hey, and the condition that you might be in is that you are in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, that your soul, that your flesh will begin to long for the who God is. Who is God to you? Lord, I'm looking for you. I can't come to your sanctuary. I can't go to where the presence of God would be, but where the tabernacle is. The King Saul is guarding the tabernacle. My flesh desires you to see your power and your glory. Hallelujah, your presence. Now, it says, if we seek him with all our heart, we will find him. If you search for God with all your heart, don't be half-hearted about your seeking of God. Don't be half-hearted. No, I am going to come to you with a whole heart, honestly seeking you. Lord, I need you. I'm looking for you. If we seek him with all our heart, he will be found. He makes sure that he's found. And he's looking, what kind of heart do I search for him? Just as David is saying, hey, man, I need you. I long for you. Man, things are dry in my life. I'll tell you, sometimes the dryness in the wilderness is like, God, where are you? Where are you, God? The need is a key to really want something. In this case, not just something, but someone. To see your power and your glory, your presence in my life. Man, am I going through a wilderness? Man, am I going through problems? Now comes something that is so unique. It is not of this world. It is not of this world. And it is totally contrary to our human nature in hard, rough times. It's totally contrary to that. It says in verse 3, because your loving kindness, let me expand on loving kindness, your goodness, your kindness, your faithfulness. Because of this, your loving kindness, your goodness, kindness, and faithfulness, it is better than life. He's recognizing who God is, the characteristics of God, and the benefits of God in his life. And he's declaring this, it is better than life. Is that the case? Or are we looking for something else? Say, oh man, if I just had this one thing. If I had this one thing, man, I'd be in a good place. And so we go chasing after this one thing. When we get it, we're disappointed. Whatever that one thing is, David had it right. Your loving kindness is better than life itself. So what does he say then? He says, my lips shall praise you. My lips shall praise you. Basically, praise, this word, halal, is to shine or to praise, to boast, make a boast. Basically, praise shines a light on Jesus. Praise shines a light on Jesus. That's what we were singing about today. If you go through all the songs, I was blown away by the songs. I just asked before I started, I said, hey, Josh, Tyler, who came up with the songs this morning? And it was, he says, there were four songs added this morning. We added another four songs. And it was like, man, it was right on. It is all about praise. You go through the words of this song and these songs, it was all about praise and a lifting up of Jesus. Lord, draw me close to you. I need to get close to you. Never let me go. You're all I need. You're all I need. This is the air I breathe. I'm desperate for you. was right on. This praise, my lips shall praise you. Now, I love the Hebrew language. The depth and the richness of the Hebrew language, even in the verb tenses, we don't have in English, just says, my lips shall praise you. But there's a different tenses, there's about 5 or 6 different tenses that a word can have. And so there's names for these tenses. And the tense of the word praise is in, not in the kal or the hifl, but it is in the pl tense. All right? So again, there's 5 or 6, and it's in the pl tense. A little bit of English for you, Hebrew, this morning. Okay? Now, listen to what the pl, if a word is in the pl tense, it usually expresses, listen now, an intensive or intentional action. An intensive or intentional action. So, my lips shall praise you. So the thing is that the praise is intentional or and intensive. It could be both. This morning, there was a praise. Some of you, I could hear, I can tell, man, there was a praise that went up to the Lord this morning. Now, there might be someone here this morning, there was no praise that went up. Or you're just, there was no intensiveness about your praise. It was like, I'm just going through the motions of singing songs. This word praise, PL, in the PL tense, needs to be intensive and intentional. I intentionally will begin to praise you in that dreary land, that dry and wasteland that I'm in. I'm going to intentionally begin to praise you because who you are to me. Your loving kindness is better than life. Can somebody begin to praise the Lord this morning? Can somebody give a shout this morning? Hallelujah! I'm going to begin to praise him in my condition. I'm going to begin to lift up his name in the condition that I am that is so negative. It bothers me when I hear I'm talking to people and they start to spout off all the negatives. Every single thing that is negative. There's no mention of God. There's no intentional praise. And I get frustrated. It's almost like, stop already. Stop your mouth talking. Be quiet. Let your mouth be shut up. If only I could say that. It's like, oh my goodness, will you shut up already? This is what verse 11 is all about. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. You're going to begin to glory, begin to boast in who God is. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Let your mouth, when you start to spout off all the negatives, be stopped. I'm going to begin to intentionally and intensively praise the Lord. I'm going to begin to praise him in the worst of times. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, thus will I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. This morning, I just took a quick glance as we were praising and worshiping. And there were so many of you that had your one hand up, two hands up. In fact, there was a number of you that decided to come to the front and worship the Lord and praise. And the invitation was given. Now we can praise and worship from our seat. We're in the sanctuary here, the house of the Lord, in the presence of God Almighty. But man, it says here, again, it says, thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. I'm going to lift my hands up in your name. It is appropriate as we begin to praise the Lord, that even the blessing, that we would bless Him. We have opportunity, Lord, I bless Your name. I exalt Your name. And my hands are raised up. It's like, Lord, so often we think of raising hands as I surrender. It could be surrender. Lord, I surrender to You fully. Or it can be, hey, Lord, pick me up. Lord, pick me up. Hey, little, as a child, you just, hey, man, just pick me up. It could be, Lord, I receive. I'm going to receive from You. I lift up my hands to receive. But we can also, and we need to, I'm going to lift up my hands to bless You. To bless You, not just what I receive, but what I can give to You, blessing onto You. I'm going to bless Your name. I am going to bless Your name. I will lift up my hands in Your name. I'm going to bless You while I live in the worst of times. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a shout this morning. He is worthy. Let's make some noise this morning. Let's exalt Him. Hallelujah. We bless Your name this morning. We bless Your name. We extol You. We magnify. We shine a light on You as we praise You, Jesus. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are the Lamb of God slain for us. We bless Your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hatarabasondoria. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Listen, His name. Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And He'll receive all the glory. His name is above all names. Hallelujah. 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 His name. Interesting. This name of reputation. I will lift up my hands in Your name. The word is shame. Name. The name above all names. The name is Jesus. That's the name. And it comes with reputation, fame, and glory. When we lift up our hands, it's an acknowledgement to the name that is above all names. Your name is above all names. Your name. You are number one in my life. All reputation, all fame, and all glory belongs to You. We exalt You, Jesus. It is that name as a designation of God, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus specifically, that His name is exalted. There is an aspect of a memorial or monument. And I like this aspect of the name. So often in our existence, in our society, in our civilizations, there are people that monuments are made of them. Their name is underneath the time maybe that they lived or whatever they did. What great accomplishment they did. So every time you go and you see that thing, you say, hey, oh, I think they took down Sir John A. Macdonald or something a few years back. They took down the first prime minister of Canada. I don't know if he's been put up, so his name has been brought down. But the monument, the memorial, it's a memorial. Do you have a memorial or a monument? A deliberate construction of a reminder for self. Jesus' name is above all. And there's this thing of a memorial or a monument made within your mind and thinking and your existence. His name is above all. Maybe it's a reminder when you come into the house of the Lord, Lord, that I will lift up Your name in this place. When I come into the house of the Lord, when I come in with other believers, Your presence is here where two or three are gathered in His name. The Lord is in their midst, and He inhabits the praises of His people, that there would be a memorial. I'm going to exalt Your name when I come into this place. And I might be in the worst of places. I'm in the worst of places. And this is what David is saying. I'm going to exalt his name. And there's a praise that goes up. Paul and Silas in the New Testament, Acts chapter 16, 16 to 34, talks about them being in prison. They were beaten and they were whipped. And man, they were in pains, and then they were put in stocks. Their feet were put in stocks. They couldn't move. In one place, and probably sitting up in a sitting up position. Maybe up against the wall, or I don't know where they were. Maybe they weren't. And they were praying, and they began to pray and praise. And the place was shaken. There was an earthquake, and the stocks broke, and the chains fell off, and they were free to run and go by the power of prayer and praise. Listen, you might be in a prison, whatever that prison may be. Begin to praise the Lord. You may be crying out to the Lord, God, I need you, I want you, I desire you so desperately, and begin to praise him. And let there be a shaking of all the things that would bind you and hold you and control you. Let them be broken off as you begin to praise the Lord, as you begin to lift up and exalt his name. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, it will impact your soul. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow. You might say, oh, marrow. Oh, marrow? What is that? Basically, it's an expression. We just say it's basically the choicest, the best part of abundance is marrow. That's what marrow means. My soul shall be satisfied as with the choicest, best part of abundance and fatness. You say, oh, man. The other day, my wife says, hey, Dave, you want to eat this? It was fat. I don't want to eat this. You want to eat this? No, I don't want to eat it either. But I'll tell you right now, when it comes to fat, the fatness, it's figurative of blessings. It's figurative in the Hebrew language. The richness of the language is of blessings. My soul shall be satisfied as because I'm praising him, lifting up his name, lifting up holy hands, and I'm praising him, I'm seeking him. And now there is this thing of my soul begins to be satisfied. Are you agitated within your soul because of what you're going through? And David is saying, my soul is satisfied even in an army coming and a king desperate to kill me. And I'm satisfied with your presence in my life. The choicest, the best part, the abundance of blessings to me, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. With joyful lips. I can praise with, Lord, I praise you. I exalt you, Lord. But I love this thing of, when I was just looking into this, it just suddenly hit me. It was like the Holy Spirit saying, hey, Dave, this is what it is. My mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. It was like there's a smile that starts to come up on your face as you praise him. In the worst of times, joyful lips. Oh, Lord, thank you. I'm not alone. I don't know the outcome. I don't know what's going to happen. But I praise you because you are with me. You will see me through. And there's a joy that comes over my face, joyful praise, joyful lips, and there's this curling up as we begin to say, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. How many of you are in a situation? It says here, let me read it again. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. It was like, Lord, what does that mean? It's nighttime when you would go to bed. David, I don't know what kind of bed he had. A rock? Maybe he had a blanket, I don't know. Put his head up a little bit and he's sleeping. Or he's trying to sleep. When I remember you on my bed, he can't sleep. When you can't sleep because of the, this pressure and the weight that's on you because of your situation, your circumstances, remember him on your bed and begin to meditate on him in the night watches, no matter what time you may wake up. Listen, there are times where I was going through stress and it was like, oh my goodness. I'd wake up in the middle of the night. It would be like this thing is just weighing on me. I can't sleep and I'm focused. So there's no distraction. And so I'm even more focused on that thing that's weighing me down. That my thoughts, when I can't sleep, would go to the Lord. When I'm laying in bed, my thoughts will go to you, Lord. And I will begin to meditate on you. I'm going to shut out all those other negative thoughts. I'm going to push them away, and I'm going to begin to meditate on you. Hallelujah. I'll remember you on my bed. I meditate on you in the night watches. I think there was three or four night watch or hours, or three different or four different watches during night. I don't know if it's 3 hours or 4 hours, so it's either three or four watches. And so if you were on night watch, if you're trying to keep things protected, you would be relieved with a second watch, a second soldier or grouping of those that were watching over you, and the third and the fourth, if there was four, I can't remember now. But anyways, it doesn't matter. Basically, right through the night, and you can't sleep, no matter what time it is, I'm going to begin to meditate on the Lord. Because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. In the shadow of your wings, basically, Lord, you are watching over me. In the shadow of your wings, you're watching over me. You're not far from me. You're hovering over me, even to be taken under his wings as he would come and settle the Holy Spirit as it came upon on Jesus Christ. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit let him out under the guidance, the direction, the power, the of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to rejoice. I will rejoice. You have been my help. You will continue to be my help. I am under your wings. I am close to you. I'm protected. Your emotional state will change and you begin to rejoice. Look what the next verse says. Well, at the end of verse 7, it says, therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul, my emotional state that contains my emotional state follows close behind you. I'll tell you, your emotional state will change as we begin to praise the Lord, as we begin to exalt him, as we begin to meditate upon him. Your right hand upholds me. Let me expand again. A little bit of upholds is the tense cal. And you can have an imperfect tense or a perfect tense. And it is, upholds me, is in the perfect tense, which means it expresses a completed action. Isn't that good? It's in the perfect tense, which means it's a completed action. Now you say, wait, Pastor, you already said that David was on the run for basically 8 years. So how can this be in the past tense? Or you would think it expresses a completed action. Even for future things, basically the Lord is saying, it will be done. He upholding you is a sure thing. You may not have the answers yet, but he upholding you by his hand, by his right hand, he upholds me. It's a completed action. It will be done. It does not matter what comes against you. I'm going to uphold you. It's in the perfect tense, a completed action. Even if it's things that haven't happened yet. Basically, he's saying, don't you worry, I've got this. Don't you worry, I've got this. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is there to help. The reality of my situation, yeah, verse 9 and 10. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. You might say, what happened to King Saul? The one that was trying to kill David? What happened? He fell by the sword. In fact, he was in a battle, final battle, and is surrounded, and he knew, I'm surrounded. He said to the armor bearer, hey, take your sword and kill me. Kill me, because they're going to desecrate me. They're coming, they're going to kill me. And the armor bearer says, there's no way I'm going to kill you. So Saul took his own sword, and he fell on his own sword and killed himself. What a sad ending. But exactly, listen, the things that are against you, I don't care what it is. Maybe it's a health situation. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's in relationships. Maybe it's whatever it may be that's got you bound. You can't get out of it. I'll tell you, the Lord is saying, you begin to praise me. Lift up your hands. Exalt me. Those that seek to destroy you, or the thing that seeks to destroy you, shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. The Lord is saying, I'm going to take care of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team if they would come. But the king shall rejoice in God. We started with this verse. Know your position. Know your position. Know your position in Christ. Revelations 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, to us. He's basically saying to us, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. He's above all the kings of the earth. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He loved you and he washed you. He washed me from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hallelujah. Let it be. In Jesus' name, let it be. That there would be a praise that goes up to him.
Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.